Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time. Only at Whole Foods Market.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is VSiN's Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show, with Wes Reynolds and sometimes Matt Eumanns. Here is Brady Cannon.
Welcome in. It is Short Shots, our abbreviated off-season version of Long Shots. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds, embarking on another handicap of this week's event on the PGA Tour, and that would be the Bermuda Championship. Not a long way from where we were last week in South Carolina at Congaree Golf Club, where now new world number one Rory McIlroy successfully defended his CJ Cup title. Wes, on to Bermuda. This is the fourth edition of the Bermuda Championship held at Port Royal Golf Course in Southampton, Bermuda. And it's a short coastal golf course design where you always get the steady amount of wind, fairways on the narrower side, but the rough is very manageable. The greens are Bermuda grass. They're on the smaller side. We haven't seen too much of this golf course. Like I say, just three editions in the past. Where did you go with your handicap this week in trying to tackle this course?
Yeah, and Brady, of course, this event, Bermuda, a little bit of a downfield. One top 50 player in the world this week, and that's Seamus Power. But look, this is an opportunity for a lot of guys because the winner's going to leave the Bermuda Championship with a PGA Tour exemption through 2025, spots into Kapalua, spots into the Players, spot into the Masters, spot into the PGA. So, you know, this is a pretty wide open field. Denny McCarthy was the lowest priced guy I saw at 16-1, a guy that's not won a PGA Tour event yet. So, you know, kind of what I looked at in terms of the stats, by the way, and before I do that, I'll break down the course. Par 71, 68-28, so shortest course that they play on the PGA Tour schedule, primarily Bermuda grass. It is in Bermuda, after all. Fairways are Bermuda. Greens are Bermuda. The rough is only about 2 inches. Greens are about 6,000 square feet and a slow 10 on the stint meter. So some of the comparisons that players have mentioned, and then in some of my research, you know, in terms of the other courses that are on the PGA Tour, El Camaleon, where they play the Mayacopa Golf Classic down in Mexico, the Plantation Course at Kapalua for the Century Tournament of Champions, and basically all the other coastal courses. You could include Sea Island, Wailea out in Hawaii, Pebble Beach, Corrales for the Corrales Punta Cana in Dominican Republic. Grand Reserve in Cocoa Beach, where they played the Puerto Rico Open, and then also a little bit of PGA National down in Palm Beach. So in terms of stats, what I looked at, I looked a little bit at driving distance gained, and you wouldn't think that you would want to do this necessarily on a course that's just barely over 6,800 yards. But as we kind of saw last year, Lucas Herbert, who is the winner, not defending his title this year, by the way, was one of the top guys in the field in driving distance. And why distance kind of matters is because the winds can blow really hard here. And the winds blew into the players last year in the mid 20 mile an hour range. So distance, I think, can help you, even though you don't necessarily have to be a bomber that wins here. Just look at the 2 years prior to last year with Brian Gay and Brendan Todd, not exactly long hitters off the tee. I looked at good drives gain because that takes not only distance in, but also accuracy. Driving accuracy here is only 53% compared to an average event on the PGA Tour, which is around 61%. So I think accuracy will matter. Strokes gained approach, I think you always got to kind of take that into consideration. Then I looked at strokes gained total in high winds. And I went last 24 rounds. You could go last 36 or last 50 if you choose to. But I want players that can function a little bit in the wind. I also looked at scrambling around the greens and strokes gained per putting, specifically on Bermuda greens. And these are, as I mentioned earlier, very slow Bermuda greens that are going to run at about 10 on the stem.
Yeah, they keep them slow like that because of the wind, a little bit like a British Open schedule there, where you see those slow greens to protect from often the wind that blows in those locations on the British Open, Rota, and of course here at a coastal design like we have here in Bermuda. Rarely do you see greens that slow on the PGA Tour. I took a similar approach as far as the stats. But I really didn't, and you make a good point, and I agree with you. Driving distance will matter because you are going to be hitting your ball into the wind and whatnot. But I favored accuracy over distance. Of course, I looked at approach, ball striking, and then I felt around the greens was really going to be important too. The scrambling, strokes gained around the greens, and just quite simply greens in regulation. I like you, Wes, I looked at good drives gained, but I think accurate tee balls and good approach, hitting the greens in regulation and then being able to scramble, I think all of that's going to be really important with this wind. So I looked at players that fell more into those categories. I did end up on one long bomber because, you know, like we say here, I think that's going to help too. But I favor the precision a little bit more in these windy conditions. And I looked at some of the same exact correlated courses as well, all coastal stuff, Pebble Beach, Mayakoba, Sea Island, YLA for the Sony, Corrales Punta Cana, and then the Puerto Rico Open as well. We'll get to all of our picks momentarily, but first let's get your picks across the pond, Wes, the DP World Tour at Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course in Portugal for the Portugal Masters. Not a bad looking field. A lot of the steady, solid, you know, regular European tours, tour faces we see week in and week out. What did you do with this one?
Yeah, and the Mallorca Golf Open was last week. Congratulations to Yannick Paul. He wins at 25-1. The German gets his first DP World Tour win. They're still staying on the Iberian Peninsula over there in Europe, but the three-week stay in Spain is done. Now they go to the Portugal Masters. This, by the way, is the last full field event of the season on the DP World Tour, because then they will have a week off and then they will have that short field at the Nedbank Challenge at the Gary Player Golf Course in South Africa. And then they get to the DP World Tour Championship and conclude the race to Dubai. So this is kind of almost, Brady, like a little bit of an equal, I guess, of the Wyndham Championship on the PGA Tour. You got to be, I believe, in the top 118 in points, or the top 117, I should say, in DP World Tour points to keep your playing privileges for next year. So when I looked at the field at the top, Thomas Peters, who is the defending champ, withdrew because he's about to give birth with his wife to his second child any day now. So Robert McIntyre and Jordan Smith, 14 and 16-1, were the shortest prices there. Victor Perez 18-1, Antoine Rosner 20-1, who's finished top five in two of his last seven. And then a couple of those guys I mentioned, McIntyre's been a winner on tour this year in Italy. Victor Perez won the Dutch Open. Nikolai Højgaard, who is the co-runner-up here last year in Portugal. Eddie Pepperell. So there are some decent names in here. This is a decent field. It's the last full field event. You mentioned Dom Pedro Victoria in Portugal. It was an Arnold Palmer design in 04. 7,191 yards, par 71. Track is pretty flat. You've got water in play on seven holes and some fairway bunkers as well. Bent Poa greens that roll about 10.5 on the stint meter, so relatively on the slow side. So as I mentioned, Thomas Peters, who won here 25-1 last year, not going to be here defending his title. But basically how this has been decided, two of the last three winners ranked first in the field per strokes gained putting. So, you know, you got to, you know, this does kind of tend to turn into a putting contest a little bit. So my card I went with Nikolai Højgaard, who I had last week, who was actually only four off the lead going into Sunday. So it was kind of in the mix to maybe make a move and get a win, but kind of fell apart on the back nine, finished T16. He's won already this season at Ras Al Khaimah. First in strokes gained off the tee and 16th tee to green the week before last at Valderrama. Made 20 birdies actually last week, which was third overall in the field. I mentioned he was the runner-up here, the co-runner-up here to Thomas Peters. And he ranked first that week where he was runner-up last year. He was first in driving distance, second in putting, second tee to green, fifth for strokes gained off the tee. So Nikolai Højgaard at 22-1, Eddie Pepperell at 25-1. Just kind of a hunch here. It's been a resurgent year for him. He missed 9 of 12 cuts to start 2022. And then he finished runner-up to Callum Shanklin, which was a winner for us in Wales, and then has made 8 consecutive cuts after that. Only one finish outside the top 30 in any event. He's finished run a third, second, and sixth if you go through 2017 to 2019 in this event. Number one in this field, number two overall in the DP World Tour for strokes gained approach. So if his irons are in that good of shape, I think Pepperell's going to contend. Andy Sullivan, 33-1, former winner of this event, by the way, in 2015, where he won by 9 shots over Chris Wood, and then really nearly won it next year, lost out by a shot to Patty Harrington. 11th at Valderrama, 16th last week in Mallorca on this four-week swing along the Iberian Peninsula. His status is obviously secured for next season. Just needs to rise up a little bit in the Race to Dubai rankings to get in that Nedbank Challenge and the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai next month. Joachim Lagergren, 45-1, runner-up 2 weeks ago at Valderrama, third in Portugal 2 years ago. Really good putter, ranks up in the top 20 and basically all the putting statistics on the DP World Tour. Hurley Long, 50-1. He is a young German player who locked up starts in the final two events, so he is already good to go from a point standpoint. Top 10 in Mallorca last week, that's his seventh of the season. He actually had back-to-back top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour this summer, because if you remember, Brady, they were joint PGA Tour and DP World Tour events, the alternate events for the Scottish Open and also the Open Championship. He was top 10 at the Barbasol and top 10 at the Barracuda. Very capable player, just has done everything but win this year. Tapio Pulkkanen, 55-1 from Finland. Four straight cuts he's made here. Five top 10s this season, including against a higher class field at the Alfred Dunhill Links a few weeks ago. And then I went with one local angle, and that's Ricardo Gouveia at 66-1. He is from Portugal. He is currently in 120th, which is three spots out of the top 117, which is required for retaining his DP World Tour card for next season. Finished fifth here on this course in 2017 and seventh in 2018.
Very good. I like it. Yeah, I like the comparison there to the Wyndham Championship, where these guys kind of have to jockey for position to keep their job for the coming season. Look forward to that, the Portugal Masters. All right, back to the Bermuda Championship. I played a foursome once again, outright winners, looking for one this week in the 50 to higher range, 50 to 1 or higher range. My shortest shot was Adam Long at 49-1. And we've talked about the skill sets that we've seen have success here: accuracy off the tee, hitting greens in regulation, and possessing a strong short game. And that's exactly what Adam Long has. He's one of the more accurate drivers on tour, one of the very best putters, also ranked 17th in scrambling last season. And he's also, you know, it seems kind of odd, but he has an affinity, it seems, for these coastal courses. He has two top 10 finishes at Mayakoba and Corrales Punta Cana, also two top 20 finishes, or top 20 finishes rather, at Harbor Island and Sea Island. So against a weak field, it could be a good spot. He's probably one of the better players in the field, really. And like you said, Seamus Power, the highest ranked player in the field at 40 something or so, 48th, I believe, in the world. So a pretty watered down field. Callum Tarran, the Englishman, he's the guy I mentioned. I played three guys that are more of the, you know, accurate players off of the tee. Callum Tarran, not so accurate off the tee, but certainly a bomber. So he's my guy that I'm hoping can play into the wind like that. He does have an excellent approach game. And of course, Wes, you know, he finished 13th a few weeks ago at the Sanderson Farms, where in Jackson, Mississippi, they also have Bermuda greens on that course. And the short game was actually really good during that week in Jackson. So maybe the short game's coming around to complement his length off of the tee. He also showed well at the Grand Reserve golf course you mentioned in Cocoa Beach, the Puerto Rico Open, finished fifth there last year. So landed on Callum Tarran at 53-1. A couple of longer shots here. Tyler Duncan at 85-1, and he's more, again, back to the mold of accuracy, greens and regulation, and short game. Eighth on tour last season in driving accuracy, 54th in greens and regulation, 34th in scrambling. He does have a top 25 finish at Mayakoba. And then, of course, in 2019, he won the RSM Classic at Sea Island out on the coast there in St. Simons Island, Georgia. And he lives in Florida, too. So playing in the wind, putting on Bermuda grass, certainly got not going to be anything new to him. And then finally, my longest bomb, CT Pan at 90-1. I thought that was a pretty darn big price on a pretty accomplished player. He, of course, relies on accuracy, a strong approach game, solid short game. All of the above is what has led CT Pan to his success. He's finished 11th and 16th at Mayakoba, 13th and 6th at Sea Island. He was 57th last season for strokes gained approach, 82nd in strokes gained around the greens, also 59th in driving accuracy. And in this field, he is as high as 2nd in the field for greens and regulation gained over the last 36 rounds. So those are my four. I think this week feels like a little bit of a crapshoot. My first guy there, Adam Long, probably gives me the most confidence. I think he checks the most, you know, the biggest number of boxes, but just kind of took some flyers with the other guys that I thought made sense.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the right approach. I mean, I don't think that there's really any standout favorite here. I was hoping our guy Taylor Montgomery would be in this event, but he'd probably be like 12-1. He'd be like the favorite in right. this event. So we actually match up on the first two. I went with Adam Long as well at 45-1. The lone PGA Tour win he has, of course, was at the Desert Classic 2019, now known as the American Express. Brian Gay, who is a former winner of the Bermuda Championship back in 2020, also won there in 2013. And then if you look at Adam Long, second in 2019, third in 2020, respectively, at Mayakoba, two former Bermuda event winners. I know we have a very small sample size as this event's only been in existence for 3 years, but Brendan Todd in 2019, Brian Gay in 2008 also won at Mayakoba. So there is some kind of course correlation there. Adam Long, really good on Bermuda greens. When I was doing my modeling over the last 24 rounds, top six in both scrambling and strokes gained putting on Bermuda. So I think Adam Long could go very well here. I'm also on Callum Tarran, 50-1. He's one of the longer hitters in this field. Maybe can take a similar approach that Lucas Herbert did last year in his victory. He was also fifth in Puerto Rico earlier this year at Grand Reserve. If you go over the last 24 rounds, sixth in strokes gained approach and fifth in scrambling gain. So Callum Tarran, 50-1. Will Gordon at 60-1. Just regained his PGA Tour card back in August. Won the Boise Open on the Corn Ferry Tour. Big hitter off the tee, ranks first in this field for good drives gained, and good drives gained's kind of mad. you know, measures both distance and accuracy. And I did that over the last 24 rounds. Also has shown well on coastal courses dating back to his college days at Vanderbilt. In 2018, he was fifth at the Carmel Cup at Pebble Beach, which I believe Matthew Wolf was the winner of that event. And then third in the 2019 SEC tournament, which is always played every year at Sea Island down in Georgia. So Will Gordon, 60-1. Another 60-1, that is Benny Ahn, regained his tour card on the Korn Ferry Tour. He was fourth at the Fortinet in his first event back as a full-time PGA Tour player. Did miss a couple cuts since, but he's one of the longer hitters in this field. And this is also a guy that I think has long history of playing in the winds, because I used a little bit of strokes gain in windy conditions. And obviously he is well versed in that because he played most of his years over the last several years on the DP World Tour. Harry Hall, 70-1. He is an Englishman that just graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour, won twice on that tour last season. 12th ranking on the KFT points list, was third in the final event, the Korn Ferry Championship, and then finished 15th at the Shriners on his third PGA start a few weeks ago. Short game is really good, as we saw on the Korn Ferry last season. 12th in putting, 20th in scrambling. So I think Harry Hall can go well here. The two longer shots, Matty Schmidt, a German, at 110-1, and he's got the distinction of actually having top 10 finishes on four different tours so far in 2022. That includes the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, and also the Sunshine Tour based down in South Africa. Overall form doesn't really leap off the page, but he's a high-level talent, and I backed him. He was actually in the mix for me earlier this year in the Barbasol, just couldn't get anything going on the back nine. He was the 54-hole leader there. So this guy's got some talent and got some game, and I think he's going to win at least somewhere around the world, maybe in the next calendar year. And then my longest bomb was Aaron Baddeley at 250-1. Bads is now on the other side of 40. He's now 41 years old, has not won in over 6 years. That was the 2016 Barbasol. And he doesn't have full status, did not get enough points in the Korn Ferry Tour Finals to earn his card, but he still has sponsor exemptions and some starts. So you got to take advantage in a field like this. He has finished second at Puerto Rico in the past, seventh at the Corrales Punta Cana. Also was a really strong performer for many years on shorter coastal tracks like Pebble Beach. So Aaron Baddeley at 250-1, pretty solid game around the green in terms of his scrambling. He also ranked seventh in my model this week, last 24 rounds, strokes gained putting on Bermuda. So he's a guy at a big price that can go well. And as we've seen, Brady, I know just a three-year history of this event at the Bermuda. Brendan Todd won this thing at 100-1 in 2019. Brian Gay won this thing at 200-1 in the playoff over Wyndham Clark in 2020. Lucas Herbert last year was an 80-1 shot. So this is one where you probably want to have a couple bombs on the card, because they surely can be on the leaderboard on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. These winners, you know, kind of like what I was talking about, they tend to come out of nowhere a little bit. So, you know, Adam Long probably made the most sense for me, but the other guys were, you know, more shots in the dark, long shots, because I think it's very possible that we're going to get another one. If you just look at the odds board, nobody's really heavily favored. I mean, there's just a bunch of guys that are in that 50 to 60 range, because it seems like the odds makers kind of know that just about anybody could get this thing done as well. Of course, Aaron Baddeley, you know, from Australia, certainly we have seen how well Australians have done in the wind. And he's always, for as long as his career is, for as long as he's been around, he's been a great putter.
Yeah, no question about it. So, and maybe encouraged by his buddy Ricky Fowler, who was in the mix over at the Zozo Championship a couple weeks ago. Aaron Baddeley and Fowler, very close friends. What was that group called? The Golf Boys, back in the day, with Ben Crane and Bubba Watson and a few other guys. So maybe can be encouraged. This is a wide open event. Like, anybody can really win this week, Brady.
All right, very good. Well, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Short Shots. And speaking of the aforementioned Mayakoba Championship, we will be there next week, El Camaleon Golf Course in Riviera Maya. Until then, thank you for listening, everybody. Good luck with your golf bets, and keep it tuned to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.